Hallelujah. When the mind of Christ dropped on me and the gift of prophecy kicked in for the last, three services up until the last one, I was in the middle of teaching from glory to glory. And I was even trying to finish break down the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I opened up to it probably three times without ever going back. Well, I finally just surrendered and rode that wave out until he finished saying what he wanted to say in our first encounter with the judgment lamb. And I think he gave us about as much as we could understand. Anyway, now I've been trying to go back. And it's interesting that when Paul gave us basically our foundation as an apostle born out of due season, that he even steered some of the other apostles, in particular Peter, back into the foundation of the church, which is justification by faith. Well, it don't matter who Paul was writing to, whether it was the Gentile born-again church, the Jewish sector or community in Rome, or in Jerusalem itself. No matter who he was writing to, you can always see the foundation and how that we came out of the law, and the devil keeps trying to get us back into some kind of legalism. Now, of course, as the Gentile, we didn't come out from underneath the law as by a commandment from God to keep it. But the promise to Abraham was that in thy seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And then the law was added to that covenant with Abraham because of transgression till that seed, which was Christ, should come that the promise was made. So our heritage really only has, I mean, we only have one foundation to get straightened out. But when the Judaizers came, Judaizers was those that finally came to terms and agreed that the Gentile could be born again and God could become their father. But to perfect their faith, they had to go on and be instructed in a more perfect way and keep the law. So in all of Paul's writings, to keep the foundation of justification by grace to the church, then he had to combat that continually, continually, continually. So we only really have one heritage. I mean, the promise was to Abraham that we would be saved through his seed, which was Christ. The law was added to that. They kept trying to go back under the law. So this is where the whole argument against legalism came in, when Paul fought to keep the foundation of the church under her. And so that's why there was so much about the law in his writings. Well, when God opened it all up to men, especially in the book of Romans, what it did was strengthen. I mean, the new nature has made us so free, as what it did was opened up the potential. And everything that we have become in the new nature when we was born again. And when it opened that up, we called it the born again trail and been teaching on it for over 2 years now. I thought it was a 6-month adventure. That since I found out it is the foundation of the church, I don't believe there's an end to it. Because now the whole Word of God's lining up. Where do you stop preaching it? All I know is now that I understand that it wasn't really even the Holy Spirit that set me free. He did the work. But the work was done in me. And what was left in me is what makes me free, which is the new nature. That's what set me free. And with some of you, if you can remember, I said, I could read the Old Testament through. But as far as do exhaustive studies in it, until I understand thoroughly, our dispensation of sonship. I just could not get a spirit of hunger to go in there and research all of these guys. But once he opened up completely, the understanding I now know about being born again and how free that I am, then it's freed me to go back and see the old in the light of the new after I've been born again and have the teacher on the inside of me who's illuminating me. Of course, then we went way back to Genesis, you know. And what a time we've been having. Well, I understand now. I'm getting freer by the moment, but I cannot find any end to this. So some of the greatest things that was said by Paul about Moses and about the veil over his face and how that all relates to you and I being born again is the most amazing thing to me. Even under the shadows, what I'm beginning to understand, which is what we're going to deal with today, is a shadow. But even underneath the shadow, I'm starting to understand things that were so difficult all my life, like the Sabbath. Like the Sabbath, why the penalty would be so stringent on the day of rest. If a man just simply bent over and picked up a stick of firewood, that they brought him to the elders. They had to put him in a jail of a sort until Moses inquired of God. Said he broke the Sabbath. What do we do with him now? And God brought said, bring him before the elders of the church and stone him till he's dead. You know, I mean, a rebellious son that reached manhood around 13. That if in his life he wouldn't listen to his mother or father or take instruction, they'd take him, the mother and father, take him to the elders of the gate where they sat in council. And she'd say, this son, he's a drunkard and he's in rebellion and we've administered correction and he'd never take it. And so the elders then, and the people would take that rebellious son and kill him right there at the gate. They'd stone him to death. Aren't you glad that you're not under that dispensation? You know, when you have an outburst and run and but you know, the penalty was really stringent for just picking up a piece of firewood on the day of rest. You know, and I'm thinking the guy had lived in such fear on the Sabbath that he didn't get any rest. But see what God had to contend with, that he gave the law because of transgression until the time the seed should come, which is Christ, and who the promise was made that through that seed he'd inherit the nations. Well, you know, God had to deal with the rebellious sin nature. And he was very clear to those that wanted to go back under the law that the law was for the lawless. Why would you need a commandment that you'd have to do all those things if you had a new nature that freed you from them? That's why you're only judged now by the law of liberty and the advocate ministry of Jesus Christ. The advocate. You know, that's the same. That's after you're born again and you do something wrong and you go before Jesus Christ, the advocate, and confess it as sin. And he's faithful and just to cleanse you. You know, and that's what the priest did in the inner court, not the holiest of holies, but the inner court on the brazen altar where they would bring sacrifices in for the sins of the people. And that's what Solomon did when he offered, first thing he took over the kingship from his father, David. The first thing King Solomon did was heard 1,000 burnt offerings. 1,000 Mount Moriah and sacrificed them. And God said, what do you want? And he wanted to make sure underneath the advocate of the old covenant that there was nothing between him and God when he took the throne. He says, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom to judge your people righteously. And I want to build you a house to dwell in. Well, see, now that's the same thing we want. We want a spirit of wisdom to minister the word and judgment righteously. And the house we're building is made out of the born-again spirits of just men made perfect, see? See, that's the only house he wants. And God had to deal with that sin, rebellious nature that, according to Paul, and I know he's right, couldn't keep the law. He says, is the law sin? God forbid. He said, I wouldn't even have known what sin was had God got given the law. God not given the law and said, thou shalt not covet. He said, that's when I found out there was something in me. Because if you're born with the sin nature and grow up with it, how in the world are you going to know the difference? See, you don't know anything out of what you were. And that's why he says, what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him? Meaning, how can you know anything outside of your nature? What man knoweth the things of man save that spirit of man that's in him? But no man knoweth the things of God save the spirit of God that's in him. Not talking about the Holy Spirit. Talking about your born again, regenerated nature. For you not received, the next verse is, the spirit that's of this world, the one Adam gave you. But you received that spirit which is of God, born again, that you can now know through the new nature the things that are freely given to you by God. But before you had that new nature, it didn't matter what you did. You couldn't give yourself a new nature. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't beat a conscience into a new nature into. You can't discipline one in. You can't meditate one in. You have to be born again. You can no more give yourself a new nature than a goldfish can adopt a piranha and beat one into it. Son, where were you last night? Well, I was having lunch. I'd had my friends for lunch. So the penalty was stringent. But see, when you start understanding that the shadow, as a shadow, things to come, was a type. He said, but the body is of Christ. Meaning the thing that's making the shadow is the body of Christ. But once the thing that's making the shadow gets here, it's impossible to live in the shadow and in the thing that's making it at the same time. So, of course, the Sabbath was a type of that rest that you and I enter into. When we're born again and cease from our own labors. It's not by your works, lest any man should boast. And it is a gift of God. See, any man working on the Sabbath was saying that your salvation could be earned. And that is an impossibility. So if Joshua would have given them rest when they crossed Jordan and entered the promised land, and he says God would not afterward have spoken of another day, he said there still remains a rest for the people of God. You bet, when you're born again and come out from under the weight and the burden of sin and receive a new nature. Are you keeping the Sabbath? Yes, I am, because I am guarding that peace. Glory be to God. For I've been born again. Is anybody hearing me? I've been born again. I have a new nature, and I know the secret of walking in the presence and the power of God is not what men can give you. It's how you develop that human spirit born again in the presence of God. Well, I'm going to fill myself with the Word. Good, because the Word lays the foundation for faith. But faith takes place in your spirit. That comes from knowing Him who said what you're quoting.
Hallelujah.
Even when you walk the floor and say something 500 times and call yourself healed.
Will you get healed?
Certainly.
Am I moving God?
Nah. Who you're really affecting is your own spirit. What you're really doing is you're speaking the Word until you conform to it in every area, spirit, soul, and body. And I tell you, how's He that spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him? He wanted you to think about it. How shall He not? Think about it. He didn't spare Him, so how can you get Him to withhold any good thing from you? How has He not abundantly give everything to those who ask Him?
Well, then why didn't He give it to me?
Because there's only one reason: He can't. And if He can't get you to receive it.
Well, I begged for it 35 days.
You're a professional unreceiver. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Well, you think you can follow me pretty close for a few minutes? My God, that new nature. And it's everywhere I go, and I want to get from glory to glory. And He says, man, you just keep spending time in My presence and developing your spirit, and you'll find out what I can do. See, let's kick in here at Luke 11. And let's kick into the 27th verse. And it came to pass as He spake these things. And of course, I can tell you what's in the whole chapter, but I'm not going to do it right now. We're after something else here. It came to pass as He spake these things, Luke 11 and 27, that a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. And Jesus said, yes, yes, yea, rather, you know, yes, my mother's blessed, yes, yes. Yet yea, more rather blessed are they that do what? Hear the word of God and keep it. And of course you know that part of my hunger of my spirit for food dictated that I do not take a verse out of context, because a lot of what men taught me didn't produce anything because it was wrong. But you know the principles we taught you in the meditation of His Word and assimilation, which is simply never take a verse out of context. Well, here when He said, more blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it, and the reason they would be more blessed is because He was actually talking about that they would end up being born again. They would end up receiving the new nature. But even then, as you'll notice, there was a spirit trying to get in and divert the worship to Mary. Yes, He said, my mother's blessed. But more rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, because they will go on to be born again. See, and that's what He talks about in the verses to come. Now follow me close. Verse 29, and when the people were gathered thick together, He began to say, you know, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. Let me tell you the sign I'm going to give you. There's no sign to be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. Because Jonas was assigned to the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He says, look, behold, greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. They repented at the preaching of Jonas, and he said, look, behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Now what he was talking about, Jonas is assigned to that generation, is of course Jonah under the shadow was a type of Jesus. He was in the boat. The storm came up. Boat was sinking. Lot fell on him when they cast lots. So he said, just throw me overboard. They threw him overboard, just like you and I did. We threw Jesus overboard in our place when the human race fell to the storm of the sin nature. We threw him overboard. And he descended to the inner parts of the earth for 3 days. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the center of the earth. And from hell he cried, which was the belly of the whale. Of course, the whale spit him up. And then he preached to the Ninevites. And that's what Jesus was talking about, that he was a type of him. And they listened to him under the shadow. And he says, a greater, because I'm not the shadow. You're going to get the real thing. You're going to be born again. But what's interesting now is he typed Solomon now. When I found out what Solomon's reign was a shadow of, I thought, somebody nailed my shoes to the floor. Somebody nailed my shoes down, because I had no idea what he had said. Well, you know, if you don't assimilate a whole teaching, and it's just, let's take John, who taught probably 80 years of his life, 80 years he gave. And the book of Revelation was given to him, and he just simply recorded it. And John was a testimonial of Jesus, and he simply recorded that with the things he learned as the years went by. He had about 80 years, and he was one who knew Jesus. And 80 years then, ministering, that's why he ended up talking more about the new nature and the love of God than any of them. But his crowning achievement was basically those five little chapters. That was his donation to the church. And 80 years of wisdom went into five chapters. Deserves a whole lot more of your respect than an occasional skimming or quoting a verse to prove your point. We're talking about 80 years of a man's life. 80 years. Well, I taught you how to meditate, to assimilate. Taught you how to do it. See, when you assimilate the way we taught you, then you're going to be able to do what Jesus said. When he said, meditate, meditate. Psalms 101, the Word of God, day and night, day and night. Day and night. I meditate day and night, on purpose. No, sir. Because I already created the bed for the meditation. It takes place by itself. Hallelujah. You think I try to know what I know? Do you think that I painfully researched the connection between the Sabbath and the rest we enter into? No. How did you know? By simulation. And when I got to the place where I could understand it, the Holy Ghost just popped it into me and said, this is what it means. You think you're smart? No, that's just my point. I don't. See, the next verse here in this chapter, and now verse 32 again says, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And a greater a greater than Jonah's is here. And when I found out what shadow that Solomon was operating under, I can tell you now why Jesus would say, a greater is here. But in 33, he said, no man, when he's lighted the candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick. They come in, can see the light. And he said, on the light of the body's the eye. If your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. And if your eye is evil, the whole body's full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which in you is not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. As when a bright and shiny candle does give light. Well, that's very interesting. The question is, did he change the subject? No. This for 33rd verse is as much a part of verse 32 as 32 is the 31. 31 is 30 and 30 is 29.
Do you understand what that means? No man, when he's lighted a candle?
Yes.
What does it mean?
It means a greater than Jonah is here. It means a greater than Solomon is here. Why is he greater than they?
Well, he's the Son of God.
Who don't know that? Why is he greater than they? Says in that verse 1. And the next one, and the next one. Because what they couldn't give us under the shadow, he can. I've been born again.
Can you give us a little hint?
Sure. One statement. A candle is to darkness what your new nature is to your spirit. That when this revelation started coming, I started writing as fast as I could, and I can't at this point improve on it. But I can give it to you in 25 minutes. Or were they a type of? I'm so excited. When he gave me my first glance down the born-again trail and said to me, all that I ever promised you, both from my word and to you personally, you'll find on this trail. Boy, was he right. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 2:14, boy, am I going to have fun. Don't worry, it reads well. In Hebrews 2:14, when Paul said, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that Jesus himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. The only way to destroy Satan's hold over a person's life is to destroy the thing he's holding on to. That's the sin nature. It is no harder for Satan to get people to sin that have the sin nature than it is to get a swarm of piranha to eat a cow after you've thrown it into the Amazon. Because before we were born again, the thing Satan used against us was the sin nature. And that nature was a part of our spirit. No matter how many programs of rehabilitation you put that sin nature through, you're not going to change it no more than a goldfish can adopt a piranha and beat a new nature into him. Does not matter how many forms of religions we embrace, how many nights we spend in deep meditation trying to cleanse our inner self. The nature's not going to change, because that nature is as much a part of a person's spirit who's not been born again as roadkill is to a vulture. And if Satan used our old sin nature to reign over us with, to develop us in hopes of occasionally finding a likely prospect that he can make a Hitler out of, thank God that now that we are born again, God wants to take our new nature that is a part of our born again spirit and reign through our new nature. This is what Paul meant in Romans 5:17 when he said, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life." That is that new life by one, Christ Jesus. Watch out, devil. Where Satan finds the power to get a new generation to follow him into the new waves of wars, genocide, mass extermination, murder, rape, and drugs is by tapping into the fathomless depths of a human spirit that is void of God. Because the part of a man that Satan develops is the part of him that has the capacity to do all those things, which is his spirit. And the only part of a man that God, or that can be developed to do the works of God, is the part of you that has the capacity to do the works. And that is your born-again spirit. John G. Lake believed these things and operated in them and knew that the divine flow of God's presence and healing power could only flow through a person's spirit who was fellowshipping and touching God. And he wrote these words. There is a product of your spirit, not your intellect. He wrote these words. Faith is a product of your spirit, not your intellect. Your intellect does not produce faith. Your knowledge may give you ground for faith, but faith's a product of your spirit. Joy is something in your spirit. Happiness is something connected with your surroundings. You're happy because your surroundings, but you're joyful because of your right relationship with your Father. Now, faith, love, joy, hope all spring from your spirit, being the hidden man of the heart, and are all a product of your spiritual life. The reason people do not have rich, beautiful faith is because their spirit is denied the privilege of communion and fellowship with a Father. You don't pore over the Word. You don't live in it. You don't spend time in fellowship and worship with your Father. Consequently, your spirit is depleted and weakened. And the faith that springs out of it, that grows out of it, is a weak and a sickly plant. And John G. Lake, he ought to know, because he was responsible for training 1,400 ministries, establishing 600 churches, and getting almost 1 million people saved in Africa in a period of 8 years. No one could count the healings. I believe he knows what he's talking about. And then 5 years in Spokane, Washington, close to 100,000 people were healed, causing Spokane to be the most disease-free city of the year 1920. As you know, Tim, the law was a type. It was a shadow of the things to come. But once the thing come that's making the shadow, which is the body of Christ, it's impossible to live in the shadow and the thing making the shadow at the same time. In Colossians, he's speaking to the Judaizers, the ones that they had influence. This is what Colossians 2:16, 17 says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the harvest days," new moon, or he said the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body that is making the shadow is of Christ. Whew. Here we go now. And Tim, under the old covenant, it was King Solomon's reign that came as close to perfection as could possibly be attained underneath the shadow of things to come. And the wisdom and authority and abundance and glory and majesty and power that King Solomon commanded was a type of the new nature that you and I would receive when we were born again. When Jesus talked about the encounter that the Queen of the South had with King Solomon in Luke 11:31, He said, "The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn it. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." And he said, "Look, a greater than Solomon is here." And as great as Solomon's wisdom was, he still operated under the shadow of the rebirth and not in the new nature itself. And when Jesus said, "A greater than Solomon is here," it is because he could take us out from under the shadow and into the new nature itself. And with all of Solomon's wisdom, he could not do that. The new nature is to your born again spirit what wisdom was to the reign of King Solomon. And just two verses further down, it looked like Jesus had changed the subject when he began to talk about the reason a man lights a candle and brings it into a dark room. But he did not. He was talking about what happens to your spirit when you're born again. And Luke 11:33 said, "No man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Or what Jesus was saying is the whole purpose of lighting a candle is so that a person can see where they could not see before and walk where they could not walk before because of the darkness. What he's talking about in this verse is what happens to your spirit when you were delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Before the candle was lit and brought into the room, there was nothing but darkness. The same way with your spirit. Before you were born again and received the new nature, there was nothing but darkness. But now that your spirit has been born again and received a new nature, you can now see where you could not see and walk where there was once darkness. Jesus went on to say in verse 34, 35, and 36, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is evil, your body is full of darkness. Take heed therefore that the light that is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when a bright and shining of a..." I'm getting so blessed. "As does give you light." Now hang on. When Jesus said the light of the body is the eye, what he was saying is your eyes are the same thing to your body as your new nature is to your spirit. They both supply the light that we need to walk in. Your natural man would be in total darkness if it was not for the eyes. And your spirit man would be in total darkness if it were not for the new nature. For as clearly as your natural eyes lets light into your body so you can walk by the light, your new nature is what God uses to illuminate your spirit with. For it's only through your spirit that you can understand spiritual things. Proverbs 20 and 27. "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." When Jesus said, "If thine eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light," the Greek word for single is haplos and means a healthy eye, free of disease and can see clearly. Again, Jesus is using this natural parable to help you understand the spiritual application. The perfect state of the natural man is to have healthy, disease-free eyes so he can see clearly. And your eyes are to your natural man what your new nature is to your spirit. But on the other hand, Jesus said, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. The Greek word for evil, panoros, and means ill, worthless, diseased eyes. And blind eyes are to the natural man what the darkness of the sin nature is to a man's spirit who has not been born again. When Jesus said, if thy whole body be therefore full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. As when the bright shining of a candle does give you light. In the natural, if the whole body was full of light, having no part dark, it would be because you have a healthy set of eyes and could see clearly through a whole range a vision, peripheral and a forward. And because your eyes are to your body, what your new nature is to your spirit. The fact that Jesus said, if your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, means there could be a part that is still dark, even though you have been born again. And you see that all the time in the body of Christ. People who do not believe in speaking in tongues, do not believe in healing or prophesying. People who have been born again and have a new nature but are still partially blinded to the truth by darkness. But none of that changes the potential we have through our new nature. Because even though a person may be taught wrong, you must understand they still have a capacity and an unlimited potential to be taught right. When Jesus told the men of His generation that the Queen of the South would rise up against them in judgment and condemn them because she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, he said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And as I said before, when Jesus said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here, is because as great as Solomon was, he still only operated in the shadow of the rebirth and not in the rebirth itself. But not you and I, Tim. The greater one, Jesus, has come and has not given us the shadow, but He has given us the new nature itself. But if you want to see the potential of the born-again spirit under the shadow, all you have to do is look at King Solomon's reign. Because it was under his reign that the type of the rebirth came to its fullness. For the wisdom of Solomon was a type. But because he operated in the shadow of the rebirth and not the rebirth itself, he still had a sin nature. And this happened to him later now. And even after all that God did for him, the 700 wives and princesses and the 300 concubines that Solomon loved, when he was old, they turned his heart away from God. He even began to build them temples to their God. And God told him, had it not been for the promise that I made to your father David, I'd have ripped you off of that throne. But when King Solomon was at his fullness, he was something to behold. Under the shadow, the anointing of the rebirth is where the book of Proverbs came from. Ecclesiastes, the Songs of Solomon. Even Jesus made reference to his wisdom. And under the shadow, the wisdom that King Solomon reigned with again was a type of what the new nature is to your spirit. When the Queen of the South, who was not lacking in wisdom herself, who ruled over a whole kingdom, when she heard the wisdom of Solomon, there was no more spirit left in her. Let me tell you what that means. There was not even a microfiber of anything, anywhere, in her entire being that did not totally succumb to the wisdom of Solomon that was so strong that did not just leave her surrendered, but left her stunned. That's what it means to have no spirit left in you. For 2 Chronicles 9:3 and 4 said, "And when the Queen of Sheba seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house which he had built and the meat at his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearers also, their apparel, and the majesty of his ascent by which he went up into the house of God to worship him." There was no more spirit left in her. In the same breath, you knew what Nineveh and Jonah's preaching to it was a type of. The salvation that we would receive, the repentance, the type of his death, and our baptism into his death and his resurrection. But when he said, "A greater than Solomon is here," and Solomon operated in the shadow of the rebirth. But in his reign, that shadow came the closest to the perfection of the real thing. But the greater one has come, who is Jesus. It took us out of the shadow into the real thing. And what the wisdom was to Solomon's reign, my new nature is to my spirit. What's ahead of us? What's ahead of us? Well, you're not going to find out, just like Solomon. You'll marry a thousand strange doctrines. You'll marry 700 strange doctrines. You'll have affairs with 300 more. Until you enter into fellowship with God and through the Holy Spirit have a relationship with your one wife. Hallelujah. And let your Father develop your spirit. Take you out and beyond what the shadow operated into the glory and the wisdom and all that God has for us as sons and daughters of God. And obviously, the wives of Solomon can't give that to you. Neither can their gods.
Woo! I've been born again! I have no limit to the end of the potential I walk in. Hallelujah. This world doesn't have enough sin to escape the velocity of the reign of the born again spirit. He's just looking for a few good men and women that hadn't been deceived and quitting before you get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there wasn't more to it than having camp meetings and swapping meetings, swapping offerings, then I'd find me a branch on the Amazon and at least get somebody saved. Before I'd sit around in meetings and swap offerings, I'd march up and down Peoria and laugh at their switchblades and get them born again. I guess if you're ever going to have God show up, you're probably going to have to place yourself somewhere between the need of the human race and God to give him a reason to, instead of sitting around like some dark hole in outer space sucking everybody into your problems. You want to walk with God, you need to be the answer. Amen. Under the shadow, the wisdom Solomon reigned with was a type of what my new nature is. To my born again spirit.
Well, I just can't hardly believe
that's because you got a defeated complex. You want to talk victory? Victory is not your bank account. Victory is being able to operate in spite of it. Victory is to defeat every trap of Satan, whether it be persecution or the lust for other things, and finish your journey to become a slave and a servant of God. Hallelujah. That's only half the ladder. You heard some of the other part, which is a third more about, or a fourth more, if I'm already to half. Where in the world's a third come in? God, you're so smart. You know, the other part, we explored the death nature in little Hans. You know, how can you know your capacity for victory unless you knew what your capacity was for destruction? If that death nature can make a Hitler out of any one of you with special training. And what can the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, make out of a man that wants to reign through the life of the new nature through Christ Jesus? Why, the world would have a hard time outrunning you to go to hell now, would it? Stand up. Lift those hands. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the shadow. Help this little brain of mine to understand the real. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Give me my day in court.
If I failed, don't let it be because somebody held the truth from me. Tell me the truth. Leave it up to me if I'm going to be a miserable failure. Don't take my right to victory away from me.